The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
G&J Pepsi Cola Bottlers proudly presents BBN Chalk Talk, a sports show with a distinct Kentucky flavor.
Welcome to BBN Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling. My name is Max Gabby. With me always is Matt Smith and Greg Lyle. What a show we have for you. We're going to do another music poll since it was such a success last time. We're going to talk more award.
What was that word?
I thought my phone just skipped.
I thought it did too.
Success? Okay. It was a success. It was a successful venture.
Then you go ahead. Go ahead, do the rest of the outline of the show then.
Oh, this is going to be good.
All right, and we're going to talk about some other stuff. How we doing?
Better than you, geez.
Max is working hangry tonight.
Yeah, rough day at work on a Monday. I hear you, man. I hear you.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I'm doing good. We had our work Christmas party this weekend and got to do the radio show on Sunday and just kind of sat around and watched some football. It was a good weekend.
It was a solid weekend. Got some stuff done around the house, almost decorated for Christmas, and did some cooking.
You almost started decorating?
We're almost done.
It just made it sound like we almost started decorating, but we decided not to.
Got meals prepped for the week, so not having to rush home to get stuff done. And it was a productive weekend.
Nice.
Yep.
What about you, Max?
This was actually one of the first weekends that I didn't have to work. My phone did not ring. And it was just a nice, peaceful weekend. And no one bothered me. It was so nice. I've had nothing but countless people for probably months and months and months where I just did not have a free day. And Ashton and I were watching a movie Sunday night, and she just looks at me and goes, "Your phone has not rang once this whole weekend." And I looked at my phone. I was like, "That's fantastic."
Like, is it on?
Huh? I was like, "Oh crap, I forgot to charge it." And I was like, this is a great weekend. Nothing can ruin it. And my first phone call came at 2:30 this morning. So I was like, perfect. It's all just waited for Monday.
Yeah, right.
It all just waited.
Of course it did.
It's like, oh, so you do want work-life balance. All right. If you want it Monday through Friday, here it comes.
Wow.
Oh, jeez. Goodness.
Well, I'm happy for you in those 2 days of bliss.
It was 2 days of bliss. I will definitely say that. But no, music poll. I think overall the music poll was very good.
I liked it.
I think David did a great job picking out the music for the most part. I think he was a little too heavy set on Charlie Brown, but
yeah,
you know, I still think it was good. He played some good classics there.
He did. Dealer's Choice. So
it was nice to use that as the out on the podcast.
That's all.
Went out to the Christmas music. It was very, very nice. I didn't put our normal music on just because I didn't want to go over the nice holiday music that played for us.
Absolutely.
I just wish she played some sort of weird Russian stuff. That would have been hilarious.
You were worried about that the whole show.
I was so worried. I was like, you need to have him, you have to have him fixated on just only focused on a segment of music. That's why even Johnny Cash is scary, because Johnny Cash has put out some stuff, especially when he wasn't clean. So there's no telling what kind of stuff, especially since we're digging back to people's Twitter accounts when they were 14, I guess. True. Johnny Cash, there's probably some records out there that Johnny Cash never wants to see the light of day.
I would say that you're probably right somewhere.
To be perfectly honest, though, if you put out a song called Cocaine Blues, you probably ain't got much to hide outside of that.
Yeah. Everything he did, he just said it, and it went viral. So
the man in black. And then Def Leppard, I'm not 100% sure. They probably have some skeletons in their closet as well.
Yeah, I'd say anybody around that era, yeah, definitely some skeletons for sure.
But first of all, what up about the Josh Allen, another trophy?
Unbelievable.
The Lott trophy last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how about that?
Who has an award ceremony at 10 o'clock at night?
Right.
Well, it's 7 o'clock their time.
Well, that's stupid.
It was out on the West Coast.
Well,
everything.
Well, that's the thing. Follow normal people time. They wonder, like Pac-12. They're like, well, why doesn't anyone watch our games? Because you play at 11 o'clock at night. No one's going to watch it.
Yeah.
Go towards normal people time.
Yeah. Normal. Yeah, you're right.
Even don't Central, go off your Central weird works. Surfer time.
Yeah. My favorite part of the whole thing was that he told Ronnie Lott that he had to Google him.
He Googled
this award.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
He said, I wish I had that soundbite. But that is just so Josh Allen. He's so laid back, so genuine, so real.
Yep.
You know, just sitting there talking about it. He goes, yeah, when I was first nominated, I don't know who Ronnie Lott was. I had to Google him. Standing next to the guy.
Yeah. And just got his award.
Just got his award. Standing next to him.
Oh, man.
I had to look you up 2 months ago.
Yeah. Oh, that was gold.
Just think, 2 months ago, I didn't know who you were. Now I got a trophy, you.
And then afterwards, he said, oh, yeah, me and Christian have been having a bet going on and who can win the most awards. I'm winning 3-0 now. And then he took the award around and handed it to each of those guys and be like, hey, feel how heavy this is. I just won this. Sucks for you guys.
Yeah, because like, he went to pick it up, and it was so heavy, almost dropped it. And he goes, man, this is heavier than I thought. And, like, they were all shaking their head at him. And so he went around afterwards, and he handed it to everyone. Feel it.
Feel it. To the losers. I was like, hey, feel what you didn't win. How does that suck?
And I like whenever he said, yeah, we got a bet to see who wins the most awards. He goes,
right.
It's just a friendly bet, NCAA. We're not really betting money.
Yeah. Tony Neely right on the phone right after that.
Yeah.
No money's being exchanged.
Right.
He did not need like bet. Goes,
I'm up 3-0.
Yep. Oh, that was great. That was just great. I love it.
I mean, I think, honestly, that was probably just a genuine Josh getting up and saying stuff because it almost sounded like whenever they asked him to speak, he goes, oh, I have to speak? Like, I don't think he had anything prepared like he did for the Bednarik and those other ones where he knew he was going to get up. Because it was a little more laid back. I mean, it wasn't on TV. It was something that was live streamed on Vimeo. And if you looked at it, it looked like it was just in some big dining room. It was kind of a laid back. But
was your video cutting out?
Yes.
Like a lot of I was wondering if that was just me. I like got off my Wi-Fi and I was trying to figure out how to make the stream solid. But like, I only heard like every other word that they were saying, and you know, look, I caught bits and pieces of it, unfortunately, but yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah, it was cutting in and out, but you know, it was really nice ceremony and things that they said about each of the players and getting up, and I like that they made it out more than just about the football stuff. You know, it was truly the impact that these guys had on their teams and on the programs and on their communities. And nice. I mean, UK got a $25,000 scholarship to the general fund out of it. The Lott Foundation. I don't know what it's called.
Can you imagine that Christian Wilkins for Clemson being a substitute teacher and walking into your like first or second grade class and just this ginormous defensive tackle coming in? And he said the kindergartner on his first day, the kindergartner goes, "That's a big mister." I was like, yes.
But, I mean, he graduated. That guy graduated in two and a half years.
That's insane.
How is that even possible?
I don't know. It took me 5.
A lot of summer classes.
Yeah.
Right. 2.5 years.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. But you know, he just keeps growing. I mean, you know, we got the AP out this morning, the AP All-American list, and he was on. Bunchy was on, and yep. Benny hit the third team. There was only two other schools in the nation that had more first teamers than UK did, and that was Bama and Clemson. And there was only three schools that had more players overall, and when you add Oklahoma into that mix.
Wow.
So that's wow. pretty good company that Kentucky is keeping with on this. And then here recently, just came out tonight, less than an hour ago, that Josh Allen's been named first-team All-American by the Football Writers Association of America. Uh-huh. So just to make sure, in the last week, this is what Josh has been up to. The Nagurski Award for National Defensive Player of the Year. Uh-huh. The Bednarik for National Defensive Player. How can you have two National Player of the Years?
That's weird. Double up.
The Ronnie Lott Impact Trophy. First Team All-American by Walter Camp, Sports Illustrated, The Athletic, ESPN, Associated Press, College Football News, and the Football Writers Association. SEC Defensive Player of the Year by both the AP and the coaches, and First Team All-SEC by the AP and coaches. Had a pretty solid year. Good thing he came back.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not bad.
That's a day.
Yeah.
That's a day.
True.
But no, it was great and really liked how, you know, he brought up his son yesterday. I mean, I don't think many people outside the UK world and BBN have really understood what Josh has gone through, you know, through this senior year and why he's doing a lot of things that he's doing. And it's because of his son. And that was good to hear him talk about that. And then there was also some stuff on the SEC network today too, that he talked about his son, and that's who, you know, what he thinks about when he's out on the field. Cause he wants to make sure that he's setting a good example for him when he sees these things down the road, when he's old enough to understand it, he wants to make sure that he left the right impression for him. So that was very, very cool to see.
Yep.
It was a little bit of a, side note, and I apologize to do this, but the Kentucky's gifts came out for Citrus Bowl.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, they had the big list of everything.
$400 Best Buy gift card, a Fossil watch, and an OGO backpack with luggage tag. That I love those backpacks.
But yeah, there's also the gift suite. See, remember, that's what a lot of them are doing now. So they're giving them so much money, and they go into the suite, kind of like what they did last year, where they had them, they could go in, they had so much money.
Yeah, that's what the Best Buy card is for. And the I guess the options look like a 58-inch 4K TV, a tablet, an Apple Watch, a tricked-out hoverboard. That ain't bad.
No, that ain't bad at all. Dang.
And get to spend a week down in Florida.
And that's not all the gifts that they get from UK. That's all just from the bowl. Like, UK is going to be giving out a bunch of bowl gear and a bunch of bowl stuff as well. Yeah. So,
well, just like a new jumpsuit, shirt, shoes.
Yep.
Probably a hoodie, something like that. That's not bad. The gifts have gotten outrageous nowadays. They've gotten very outrageous. I'm not against it, but just some of the stuff that you get. Like, one year I remember it was a blow dryer.
I mean, everybody needs one.
I do not need one.
No.
You did back then, didn't you?
No.
You had a little bit more back then, didn't you?
Mine stands straight up on its own. I don't do anything to it.
Now, mine did. Now, I had the locks like no other, but I never used a blow dryer.
Yeah.
You just let them
pre-flow.
Well, no, I just put it up. I just put a headband on, and I was basically.
Did you have a man bun?
No, I did not. I didn't have enough for a man bun, which I would still not have a man bun.
Yeah, I was going to say, now the question is, would you if you had enough hair?
No, absolutely not. I had enough where it was just one of those Nike, the you know, the long headbands, like guys that had like dreads and stuff. Mm-hmm. I used to put mine back like that. That way I wouldn't have to wear like a hat or if I was walking around campus. But I kept my head underneath the hat so much in college that it really didn't matter.
Yeah.
Hats were made for.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah. True, true, true. I can't pull off that look anymore. Not anymore.
Awesome.
But
no, jealousy, but good for them.
Yeah. But great for Josh Allen. I mean, he's deserved all this recognition, and especially his selflessness of coming back for a final year when he really didn't have to. He was probably going to get drafted. He's probably still going to make some money and still make an impact somewhere. But it really jumped his status for doing so. And it was just great for the university to see get this much recognition and be on a national stage as well with all these awards. And
we had two more awards, though, guys that you would never thought about making All-American.
Oh, yeah, Miles Butler and Blake Best.
Yes, both of them were by the Sports Information Directors of America on the Google Cloud Academic All-American team.
Google Cloud.
Hey, everybody's got sponsors somehow. Google Cloud. Wow. Yep. Senior kicker Miles Butler earned first team honors with a 4.0 GPA, and Blake Best was second team Academic All-American with another 4.0.
You guys think we could work with G&J to do the G&J Pepsi-Cola BBN Chalk Talk Awards, All-Americans, and, like, let's give out All-American awards and see if they list them?
Yeah.
The Dr. Pepper lineman of the game.
There we go. Holiday Mary mashup, bowl of the week.
Yeah.
Now we're talking. I like it.
Mountain Dew Ice Defensive Player of the Week. I mean, the list goes on. And they have such great varieties.
Pepsi Max Shield Award.
Yes. Yeah. I'd watch for that award all the time.
Love it.
That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah. We'll hit them with that, and they're going to be like, yeah, no, guys, just stick to what you're doing.
Do what you're doing.
It's okay.
Okay. I got some ideas. We don't pay you to come up with ideas. We pay you to talk.
You're not the idea guy.
Talk. We pay people a lot more money to come up with ideas. And if we come up with an idea, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
But right now you just talk.
Yeah. You just talk.
Anybody see the girls game yesterday? Were y'all able to find it on the ACC network? I was able to pull it up.
I was able to pull it up on my app, and I saw bits and pieces of it because I had other things going on. And when in the third quarter, when they were getting beat pretty good, I kind of turned it off and then came back in the fourth quarter and saw that it got – like they stormed back, Kentucky did.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is going on? And I watched it to the end. But, man, we just ran out of time.
Just ran out of time. Girls played great. Loved the heart and the hustle out of them. Came up 5 points short. They lost to number five or number four, depending on what poll you're looking at. Louisville, 75-80. You know, it's really hard to stop Asia Durr. I mean, there was just several times that she and other players just kind of drove through the lane that nobody really jumped in front of them to stop. Yeah. I think you play this game again later on in the season, I think UK takes it. It was a great learning experience for them. The girls fought. They played hard. You know, Ryan Howard, freshman sensation, she had another double-double yesterday. Yeah. And it was also nice to see, you know, Taylor Murray had another good game. She scored 18 points and had 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 steals. But, you know, Ryan Howard, how blessed are we to have her come in and doing what she's doing? She scored 20 or more points in 4 games this season. Has hit at least a 3 in every game this year. You know, leads the team with 6 assists, you know, per game. I mean, it's just amazing what she's coming to do. And to think that she was a freshman playing in high school. You know, she's playing high school this time last year.
Right. Yeah.
So that's kind of crazy to think. But girls fought hard. I know they'll get back to work this week and they'll correct things. And I don't want to be Middle Tennessee State on Saturday.
Yeah. I think the best part about this game is just the fact that you saw them fighting so hard in the fourth quarter. That when they're down to a team that's ranked as high as Louisville and as good as Louisville is, the fact that they were able to limit the shots for Louisville, but then they were able to finish the game so strong. If it hadn't been for that second quarter where they shot 26%, that would have been the difference in the game. If they were able to put some points on the board in that second quarter and keep up pace with the rest of their game, that would have been huge. And then, obviously, we know the Kentucky, the women's team, has made their name off of turnovers and steals this year. and just weren't able to do that against this Louisville team. And Louisville
had six.
Louisville had six turnovers. Oh, yeah. And Kentucky had four steals additionally. That's only 10. Well, I guess the steals count as part of those turnovers, but that's
when you six were shot clock violations.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even like what their turnovers they're used to are on their steals and getting after somebody in that press.
Defense. Yep.
A lot of these, over half of those were off of shot clock violations. The first one that they had in the second half didn't come till right at the end of the third, and it was a shot clock violation.
Yeah. Yeah, when you are making your name off of that and that gets shut down, you've got to figure out something to do, and I think the adjustment just came too late on being able to figure out how to offensively put it together to make up for what your defense was lacking against a team like this. So I'm glad to see that they're able to make those adjustments and that they're able to fight and get back in a game. I think that's going to give them confidence down the road. Yes, you want to get this win and continue the undefeated record that you have going, but I think overall this should give the ladies nothing but confidence moving into the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'd say so too. They've got to be really ready to get after this SEC schedule and prove themselves in the conference as well this year.
Right. Yep, absolutely. So we'll see. We'll be there on Saturday to see how they bounce back.
Saturday, yep. They're at 1 o'clock in Memorial Coliseum against Middle Tennessee State. We will be there for that one. And then before we head over to Rupp Arena for Brisket and the men's game against Utah, the Utes.
And as many jalapenos as we want.
That's right.
I'm so glad you all found those.
Yeah, me too.
It's life
a game changer.
It is.
Gosh.
He doesn't understand. Because you know why he doesn't understand? Because there's no protein on the side.
And jalapenos are hot.
Dude, I'll tell you what. So I started, which I don't know why I never thought of this because I love spicy stuff and I love jalapenos. But when we go to Mexican restaurants, my wife actually figured out that to just get the fajitas and have them grill jalapenos and add those in there. But, man, when they grill jalapenos, they're legit jalapenos. They're not the jarred stuff. And like the Oh, my Lord. It makes you cry when you have the steam coming up when they put it on the table and you get jalapeno up in your eyes, like the steam coming off it.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, it makes you cry, and those are strong jalapenos, and I love it.
My sister-in-law likes to go to El Toro versus El Nopal, and when we go there, they do it. I can order a plate of – they bring me a plate of grilled jalapenos, sliced up. Jeez. Oh, it's
very good. Yeah, it's so good.
See, I like a little bit of a spice. I like a little bit of warmth. But anything above that is – I just don't find fun. I don't find any sort of pleasure whatsoever in it. But Ashley can eat freaking Carolina peppers and ghost peppers and not break a sweat.
Are you lobbying for us to switch you two out on the show?
It would probably make me a whole lot less anxious and a whole lot less depressed and have her deal with you all.
Oh, man.
So you two alone
drive me to drink.
So if we ever start the show and Ashley's there, we know, oh, we broke Max for the night. We broke Max this week. We got Ashley.
Oh, man, that's good.
Mama Gabby talking to you?
Oh, she's fine. She's fine.
She just had to let you know.
She's plotting revenge then. It'll come back around.
Yeah. Of course it will.
Hey, Max, how's your breakfast food taste now? I bet you don't want to know what's in it. What?
Yeah, what? Next time you show up for breakfast, she sits there to watch you eat. There's something up.
Yeah. She sits to watch you eat. Don't eat.
I've already eaten. You go ahead, Max. I want to watch you enjoy your meal.
That's awesome. Oh, man. But... yeah, we got
another top 10 ranking. When we talk about hashtag everything school, the women's gymnastic team came in the preseason poll ranked number 10.
All right.
Yep.
There we go.
And, I mean, if we want to talk about – I mean, you can sit there and argue at some schools that would have a team that's maybe like a gymnastics team. Are you going to see quality gymnastics? You know, because when you think of gymnastics, think of the Olympics, the elite of the elite athletes in the world. But the Wildcats are going to face 11 teams in the top 30 this year, and they're going to host two of them in the top 10. Mm. So, I mean, this is high quality. I mean, it's not just your like a club sport or something like that when everybody would think, but, you know, UK has got it going on. We talked about it on the show on Sunday. So many of these programs are not just doing well, they're doing extremely well. And then now we had another winter sport that's going to be ranked in the top 10.
Awesome. I love seeing this. This is great.
It's everywhere.
Everything school.
Hey, so we talked a little bit about last week's music, but we didn't actually talk about this upcoming week's music and what we were hoping to see.
Yeah,
have you guys thought about it yet?
I've got mine.
All right.
Well, go ahead. Well,
would you like to start off, or you won, so you get to choose. Do you want to be first or last or second, or where do you want to go?
I want to go. I'm like Max said, I don't want to just throw a broad range out there to Dave, so I'm going to narrow it down a little bit. So I'm going to give a time frame of 80s country music.
Hmm. 80s country.
What if that's not already in the box for David to play?
Oh, it's there.
Yeah, here's the thing. We're going to have to give David a little bit of a heads up instead of like 20 minutes before the show. I mean, I guess he can pull YouTube, but all right. So I'm gonna
I have a feeling he can work it out.
Yeah. 80s country. I'm going to put this poll up as we're talking here. So we'll have the answer by the time. We'll see.
Set it for a couple days. Give people time.
Yep. Yes, I will. Max, what do you got?
I'm going to go with the story behind this. I watched a conspiracy documentary about how Frank Sinatra was actually the head of the Chicago mob. And I'm not saying it convinced me, but it made me gain a whole lot more respect for Frank Sinatra. So I'm going to go Frank Sinatra for mine.
I like that.
Yep.
One of the things I had thought about was the Rat Pack. Hmm. Doing a little whole Rat Pack that would give him a little more range with Dino and Sammy. And
I'm fine with that. Put Frank Sinatra / Rat Pack.
Okay. I like that. I am going to go. I need to add another one. There we go.
Russian house music.
He'd be Russian like, please.
Max, do you remember what that song was that he was playing that day?
I don't.
Or what the jingle was. I was trying to remember what it was, and I could not think of it.
I'm just going to look up on YouTube right now, weird Russian music.
I was trying to do that, and nothing came up, or it didn't look familiar.
Hmm. Good luck just searching through Russian house music.
Yeah. Explain that one to Ashley when she sees your search history.
What is going on in there?
Max, no more wine for you.
Russian.
So what are you going with, Smith?
So for me, I don't really have a story behind it. I'm just going because I love him. Justin Timberlake. I'm going to bring something. Bring something a little more modern at you guys instead of your Frank Sinatra and 80s country.
Oh, found it. I think this is it.
Give the people a choice.
Send me the link and I'll play it.
Oh, this will be good.
Oh, live yeah, time. I think this is it. Yes.
Send me the link. No. Text me the link.
No. Oh, my gosh.
Now I'll see if I can get it up. I've got the iPad out. Hey, our special guest is here.
John Hood.
How are you?
How are we doing?
Pretty good.
You know what's funny about having John on? We were going to preview the show that John was going to be on the show, but we flustered Max so hard right out the gate that he forgot to even mention that John was going to be on the show. So
I didn't forget. I just didn't do it. You won't learn if I continue to do it. I'm treating you like my dog.
Okay, what you don't understand is we don't respond the same way Mitchell does to you.
You
that
will
just,
eventually.
That acts
all, us all on. You are, all you all are just one evolutionary grade above a chimpanzee. It will always come back to Pavlov's theory. Always. I called you over, basically over evolved chimpanzees. If you didn't catch it,
yeah, I'm fine with that.
And
oh, I'm okay with being that.
John, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Max.
Other than regretting calling into the show right at this moment.
And John hung up. Okay, that was a good segment.
So, John, watching this year, from talking to just, again, Matt's kind of our basketball expert on the show, and that kind of shows you the level of expertise we have on the show and just our collaborative basketball IQ. So if you can kind of help us guide through just some of the things that we've seen this season, especially it kind of just set the season off on the wrong foot with the Duke game, and then seeing the kind of the debacle that had not really debacle, but kind of questionable calls at the end of the Seton Hall game. For UK fans that are kind of just absolutely panicking right now, or some that want to jump ship, what's right now your synopsis of this season?
Oh, well, I would say that to this point, it is hard for UK fans. It is hard for the basketball diehards that quite honestly are coming off of a good year in football and thought this was going to be a step up again and get a chance to prove ourselves with Duke early in the season. And we run into the best player in America in RJ Barrett and probably the most hyped player in America in Zion Williamson. And then we came out and looked a little timid, looked a little nervous, borderline scared a little bit. As far as body language and facial expressions and some of the shots that we were taking, and they were like wolves and smelled blood and just took it to us and embarrassed us, kind of like we did UCLA a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Or Kansas, whoever we blew out. I don't remember which one.
Yeah.
Which one it was. Fast forward to 2 nights ago, they were playing better. They've been playing better. Been playing better defense. Coach Cal put in the kill rule, which is three stops in a row is a kill. If you have more kills than the other team, or if you have a certain number of kills, then you're going to win the game. But when you go into Madison Square Garden, the mecca of basketball and the most famous arena in the world, you have to come to produce. And we had guys that didn't come to produce. And Seton Hall had a guy who got hot in the second half, and we never really found him. And when you give teams a chance, when you give teams that don't belong in the game with you a chance, you get situations like that, where a team that shouldn't beat you, beats you.
Yep. Yeah, and it's one of those things that I don't think a lot of people understand, or a lot of fans understand, that drought that Kentucky had in the first half of like 10 minutes or so, whatever it was, of not being able to hit a field goal. Now, granted, Seton Hall went through a drought at the same exact time, but when you have droughts like that, you start off kind of hot, you have that drought. What does that do to you kind of going into halftime as a team? Just not seeing your shots go down.
Well, it deflates you. And when you don't have a true scorer on the team, I mean, Tyler Hero, yes, he can shoot it, he can score it. But when you don't have like a prolific scorer, somebody that can go out there and get you 20 on any given night that you need him to, who doesn't have a conscience as far as, oh, I missed my last four, these next seven are going to go in, it gets tough. And you lose momentum when you do that going into halftime. But as you guys know, basketball is a game of runs. It's who's going to have the most runs and who's going to go on the biggest run. Mm-hmm. Is most often who wins.
Yep. So let's talk about one of the big questions that has come out of this game. I'm going to start with the easier of the questions of at the end of the game, at the end of overtime, should there have been a timeout called with 9 seconds left when they crossed half court or looked confused? Or in your opinion, do you let them play? What are your thoughts on that? And then also with that, what in your experience has Coach Cal leaned more towards and just his history of trusting his guys versus wanting to set something up?
Well, you have to let them play. I mean, you've got however many All-Americans on the team. You have to trust them that they're going to win the game.
Yep.
And Cal has always done that. Him saying in the press conference and after the game that he should have called a timeout is him taking the blame, because you don't want to put the – as a coach, you don't – and I'm sure Coach Lyle will tell you this – you don't want to put the blame on 18, 19-year-old kids on the biggest stage in the world where that can just truly defeat them. You don't.
No, I agree. But then also on the flip side of that, John, is then why do you let them make that decision? You're still the coach of this team.
Correct. But what month are we in? You have to let them grow. You have to let them make decisions. You have to let them become leaders. You have to let them make mistakes and learn from them and learn how you're supposed to win at the end of the game. We don't have a senior on this team. We don't have a senior-led team like Tennessee does when they beat Gonzaga last night, when you have Admiral Schofield go for 30 and hit the biggest shot of his career, which when he caught it, there was never a doubt that that was going in.
Yeah.
We don't have that on this team. We have freshmen and sophomore All-Americans. And as far as Coach Cal leaning towards one way or the other, he's always leaned towards letting the guys play. I mean, John Wall's first game against Miami, Ohio, buzzer beater, game over. Didn't call the timeout. Brandon Knight against Princeton. Brandon Knight against Ohio State. I mean, we've had countless of these. It's just – you have to have guys that understand, okay, plays broke down, I'm going to get us a bucket. And that goes back to that scorer.
Mm-hmm.
Who is going to be the one that says, okay, I'm going to put this team on my back and I'm going to go get a bucket? We're down by one. There's no reason for Keldon Johnson to shoot a three with 3.5 seconds left on the clock.
Right.
You have to understand, and I understand that we don't want to put it on these kids, and I understand the way that Coach Cal is talking, but after a certain point of playing basketball and thousands of games and practices and countless numbers of hours watching it and studying it growing up, you have to know time and score, regardless of where you are, whether it's Madison Square Garden or Southland Christian Church and Church League. It doesn't matter. You've got to know time and score.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, that's – in my opinion, and we kind of talked about this on the show from Sunday, that it's early in the season. I mentioned that. It's early in the season. If you're going to let them take a chance and see if they fail or if they succeed, now's the time to do it versus later in the year at tournament time when you're in that situation. Because as we know, in life in general, not even in sports, one of the easiest ways and best ways that you know how to learn, or that you can learn, is by doing, failing, figuring it out, learning from your mistake, and moving on. So to what you're talking about, absolutely. It's one of those things that I think, you know, Coach Cal is always done this. And had Ashton brought it up, thrown it into PJ, and PJ makes a bucket and goes up by one with time expiring, we're singing a different song today.
You're exactly right. And I mean, take it back to the 38-1 team. Take it back to the national championship team that I was there.
Yeah.
These teams, and when you're this young, you have to take a loss.
Yeah.
You have to, and sometimes you have to take multiple losses. I don't remember how many exactly we lost, but Andrew and Aaron and Julius Randle and James Young that year when we went to the national title game.
Yeah.
We were horrible down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And we always, I mean, you learn from your mistakes in college basketball as freshmen and sophomores. If you have seniors, you don't need to lose. You can watch tape and take every and approach every game and take hold of every opportunity in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. Great point.
And John, let me ask you this then, based off just having that seniority, especially with that 2012 national championship team, 2012-2013 national championship team, you had Darius Miller on that team. a senior. You had leadership for the team that went 38-1. You had senior leadership, and you just had upperclassmen leadership. And it seems like, and again, John, you know my level of basketball knowledge and being able to dig deep into stuff like this, but this is just things that I hear from fans. It seems like once every full moon, you get a team like that, that you get these guys that are quote unquote one and done, and they get to a point that they're able to stay a second and third year where you have that upperclassman leadership on a team. But it seems since this 38-1 team, the Anthony Towns team, that you haven't been able to have guys to stick around. Is that something that's causing is John Calipari betting on these guys staying one or two more years to help develop teams?
Well, when he recruits a kid, he doesn't say, I need you gone in a year or I expect you gone in a year. I mean, he keeps it very honest and very open with you. And he'll tell you, if you progress, you can go to the NBA. If you don't, it's going to be tough for you. And it's always tough here. Willie Cauley-Stein could have gone after his freshman year, could have gone after his sophomore year. Terrence Jones could have gone. And I mean, Terrence Jones played really, really well his freshman year, especially down in Maui. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is once in a blue moon, but I don't think coach is betting on them to do that. I would say that it's just trying to get them on campus, get them acclimated with each other, and for lack of a better phrase, see where it goes.
Yeah. And I think that kind of leads into the kind of next hot topic right now coming off of that has Coach Cal lost some of his edge of being a good coach, and is he just a good recruiter now, or is he still both, in your opinion?
Well, you've got to think that, I mean, if you're going to say that Coach Cal is a good recruiter, you also have to think of who's on his staff. Because right. Kenny Payne is one of, if not the best recruiter in America. Mm-hmm. I still think he's a great recruiter. Now, is this team the level of talent that we had grown accustomed to in his first couple of years here? No. That talent's playing at Duke this year because they've got three absolute monsters over there, and the point guard's not too far behind them, and they're all freshmen.
Yep.
And Reddish, Williamson, Barrett, and Jones. Mm-hmm. Now, you're never going to get me to say that Coach Cal is not a good coach.
Yeah.
He is a great coach. He puts people in a position to where they can win. And it's not just him, it's his staff. You're only as good as your staff, and he has a good one. I don't know how great it is now, but when I was there, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. You had a 17, 18-year vet in Rod Strickland who controlled the point guards off the court, who talked to them, who watched film, he never yelled, but it was that silent, like, this is what we expect. This is what I expect. This is what it takes. You had Kenny Payne, the recruiter. You had Orlando Antigua was a great recruiter and a great on-court coach. Kenny Payne worked with the bigs. Coach Robick did every single scout, and I think he still does. He scouts every single team. Some coaches will draw up, they'll draw names out of a hat, basically, to determine who gets the lead scout on the other team. Coach Robick is the lead scout for every single game that is played for UK. And yeah, that takes a lot.
Yep.
I still think he's a great coach. I will always think he's a great coach. I just think that we're jumping the shark just a little bit saying that he's not. Yeah. Now, we'll see at the end of the year. We'll see, and you can only gauge him on how these teams do at the end of the year, because that's the only real thing that matters,
right?
Other than seeding and all that.
Right. And and tell me if I'm wrong in this, because this is what, you know, again, we talked about it, and in my opinion with Coach Cal, I mean, I can't imagine, and granted, he put himself in this position to where he recruits those guys that he probably knows are going to be one and done. Some of them, like we've just discussed, might stick around for an extra year or two. But having to relearn an entire team of kids, being able to find out where they currently are with their basketball IQ and with their athletic ability, put that together and figure that out. And even though it seems like a long time, the short amount of time that he has with them before you start a season, once you get underway is when you really start to learn a lot of things about your team. And you're going to have to coach every year differently. You can't just have one coaching style and it work for your entire career. So in my opinion, I think that that's what we're seeing right now. We're just seeing him figuring out this team. I know today, I think he talked about how he's already got a couple tweaks up his sleeve. And Kentucky fans love hearing about tweaks because it's worked in the past. That he's
don't get me started on the tweaks there.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a whole different rabbit that we don't want to go down there. But
fair enough.
It is tough. I mean, even from a player's perspective, you don't know what you have until you see them on the court against each other. You can't gauge what they're doing in high school. You can't gauge what they're doing in all-star games. And AAU is turning into the NBA where nobody plays any defense and you just try to dunk on each other. Yep. That's about it. So to your point, it is correct. It's just you have to get them on campus before you can make any judgment. So if you have a point guard that maybe isn't where you think he's supposed to be, you go out and get another point guard. Mm-hmm. If you've got a scholarship, you go out and get another point guard. So it's never too late to do that, really. So.
Right. What is coming up? I know we've got a few more games here, a couple big games here before we get into conference play, but and I don't know how much you've watched or researched and looked at some of these teams, but from what we're hearing, SEC is supposed to be pretty good this year. What are your thoughts just kind of on the conference, or if you even had a chance to really look at them and kind of gauge where these teams are looking?
Oh, well, Tennessee's a different beast. They're an animal. It's top to bottom. I mean, I don't know what year number 35 is with the floppy dreads that looks like – he's been living with Rock Oliver for the past 3 years, but he's special, and almost all of their team looks like that. I mean, Admiral Schofield should be the player of the year at the end of the year. He didn't get as much hype last year because he was playing on a team with Grant Williams, and Grant Williams is a great post player in this league. I don't know how good he's going to be at the next level if he gets there, but he's a great post player for college. I remember Auburn had a couple good games down in Maui. They played teams close. Arkansas just lost to Western Kentucky at home, but they have the preseason pick for player of the year in the league and Gafford. Florida's Florida. Kayvon Allen, I'm really surprised that he hasn't graduated yet. And I mean, he doesn't look old, so no one has given him the Perry Ellis joke that he's still in school. But yep. I mean, he's a scorer. He's gonna. I mean, they're always gonna play well. Florida's always gonna press you. Mike White has kind of gone back to his Louisiana Tech days of long, athletic players and just picking you up full court. Vanderbilt just lost the probably number one point guard in the class. Their freshman. Let's see who else. South Carolina is down, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. Tom Crean's at Georgia. I don't know how well they're going to do, just because I'm not a big fan of Coach Crean.
Yeah,
I know everyone else in America is, but I don't know how you can be a good coach when you pace around everywhere and you're so far away from your assistants you can't hear what they have to say. I just don't understand that.
Yep.
Don't think they're going to be as good as what they have been in the past with J.J. Frazier gone and Yonte Mayton gone. I don't really know much about A&M. I know they lost quite a bit. LSU's solid. They're going to be in every game. Point guard solid. They got a pretty good freshman that has come in. So I think I rattled them all off. I mean, generally, I mean, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. think Ole Miss is going to be down. They've got a great coach in Kermit Davis, used to be at Middle Tennessee State, Mississippi State. I mean, got a great coach with Coach Howlin. So it's, I mean, the league is good. The league is up. I don't know if we're going to sneak eight teams in the tournament like we did last year, but
right.
I mean, Kentucky right now is not the second best team in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Tennessee and Auburn.
Right. Yep. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough sledding, but a lot of opportunity for growth there, huh?
A lot of opportunities. Yes, going to be fun to watch too, especially if these kids can develop and grow the way we think they will and the way Cal thinks they will, or so we wouldn't have brought them here, of course. So it's going to be fun to see.
Right.
Hey, John, you know we do more than just sports and stuff on this show. We also talk a little bit of food. Hot topic we had on our last show when we talked about what is your favorite holiday breakfast? And it started out really innocent, and then Max had to go and talk about his dad's grill when he wasn't supposed to, and Mama Godby had to get on and fact check him. But what's your holiday breakfast go to? You know, you got all the family in the house, and what do you look forward to?
Well, how did you go from breakfast to grill?
Godby,
it's a Godby thing.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, we don't know.
His dad, I think Jeff's got like a flat hot iron, like a cast iron plate he puts down on his grill, and he just cooks it.
Oh, okay.
One of those things. But then we found out from Mama Godby that that's fake news.
Yeah. Max has gotten so skinny lately that he forgot about holiday breakfast. So we let him have it. His mom let him have it, and his wife let him have it. So it was awesome to watch that unfold.
The wife was episode before with the mac and cheese with no milk, but Miller Lite.
Miller Lite mac and cheese, yeah.
Is he still chasing around like his, like, what, 12-pound dog it looked like?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. I really thought that would get him. I don't know if he's got his mic muted or what.
I don't know what he's doing.
Who knows?
Breakfast, holiday breakfast. I would say waffles. My mom usually does waffles Christmas morning.
Nice.
My mother-in-law does biscuits and gravy that are really good.
Ooh,
yeah.
We didn't even talk about that. That's an essential. I love that.
Biscuits and gravy.
Yep.
Yeah, see my favorite, like, holiday meal, though, actually is the night before Christmas at my mom's house.
Okay.
That's crawfish etouffee.
Ooh.
Oh.
Nice. That's solid right there. That's different. I haven't heard anybody that has that.
Yeah, that is nice. That's a little different.
Mm. Man. That sounds good. So we're going over to John's. We're going to Godby's for breakfast because his mom's not feeding him breakfast now.
Yeah, his mom's not going
to
feed him.
We're going to John's for dinner right before Christmas. Perfect.
Yeah, there
we go. We're planning out our holidays here. I love this.
Got all squared away, set up. You know what? I know what will trigger Max. I know what will get him back.
What?
It's his favorite Russian dance house.
Oh, Lord. What is going on right now?
Huh?
I don't even know what's going on right now.
This is Little Big Skibidibi.
It's not as good without the music video.
Jeez.
It doesn't get the full extent of it.
You need what?
John, I'm sorry. That just got real weird real quick.
No, wow. I haven't heard that one before.
You're not missing much.
The video is great.
Good Lord.
Just think of, three Russians in leotards dancing to that song.
No thanks.
No.
But that's what we came into the studio one day, Smitty, when you were gone, and Dave was like, "Have you seen this?"
Oh, Lord.
He got this up, and he's playing it in the studio.
Wow.
Scared
me. Well,
Max.
There you go. Yeah, I can see that.
Well, there you go. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. No better way to send you off.
Lord. Oh, we appreciate it, John, as always, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Your insight is phenomenal. A lot better than what we could ever do.
Yes.
Well, hey, it's if Matt's insight is any like my football insight that I called him about like about a month ago, he's doing okay.
True. Yeah, that's we need to have John on for some bowl talk here too, just because this dude pays attention to all sports, not just basketball.
Very
and
true.
I love it. Love
John,
it.
John, thank you very much.
No problem, man. Thank you.
See you, bud.
All right. That was good fun. Deal.
I feel like that got
how disturbing
really
this video is.
Yeah.
It's very disturbing.
Well,
for Matt Smith and Greg Glau, my name is Max Scavi. You've been listening to BB and Chalk Talk presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling. Have a great afternoon and go Cats.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.